And that initial sense, that initial wisdom, that initial message of the body or of our higher self, our consciousness, that's saying, wait a minute, what are you doing? Well, we just overrule that because we're not taught to honor those messages in our culture.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and it's my pleasure to bring you another episode of the Autoimmune Show, where we hope to inspire you to optimize your health regardless of your diagnosis, to live the best life you can live. I always like to say this is the only one we're given, so let's make the best of it. And tonight we have a really interesting show. We're going to talk about a brand new guidebook called the Heart Reconnection Guidebook. And we have one of the authors on. It's a book with multiple authors, which is always exciting. We're going to talk to Lee McCormick tonight. And he was born into a tribe of movers and shakers and has always lived out loud. He is the founder of the Integrative Life Center in Nashville, the Ranch Recovery Center in Tennessee, and the Canyon Treatment Center in Malibu, California, and the creative force behind the mental health and recovery scene for over 20 years. He founded Spirit Recovery, Inc. to produce healing and recovery conferences and spiritual journeys around the world. And we're going to jump right into it. We'll finish his bio in a little bit because it's long and extensive, as you can tell, but let's just get into sharing with this amazing person and the Heart Reconnection Guide. So welcome, Lee. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Sharon. I appreciate you inviting me.
I love these books where there's multiple authors and you get many, many insights of different points of view. So just tell us a little bit, what was the inspiration for the book?
I have a group of friends, colleagues. Some of them have been teachers of mine over the years. We were all at a mental health addictions conference in Santa Fe 3 years ago. We were having a conversation around the outcomes of mental health addictions treatment, like the true change that was happening in any kind of self-help world work, but primarily in the mental health addictions realm. And we all held the same point of view that the outcomes were just not nearly good enough, and that what would really benefit this world would be a complete paradigm shift, like looking at and questioning the foundation of what we believe, why do we believe these things, and what's the basis for the messages that are being shared in the recovery realm, in the mental health realm. And again, just raising your life up. Like, why are more people not leaving happy, joyous, and free? Why are more people not inspired to follow through and really live authentic, creative lives that they love waking up to?
Those are excellent questions. And those are, I like to say, regardless of our diagnosis, absolutely important questions. As you began to uncover with the conversations you had with your co-authors, what are a couple of the things that really jumped out at you? Was why aren't people leading these joyous lives, regardless of what's going? What are some things that really jumped out at you?
There were a number of things, and they're all interconnected, of course. You know, one of the biggest issues that we face is really anchored in our culture, and that is that we have been taught growing up that if we have an issue, that the way to find a solution to our issue is to find an expert, a quote-unquote expert, go to them for the answers, and just accept whatever they offer you because they know and you don't. right? And this is true. This is true in the medical healing aspect. It's true in the mental health aspect. It's a cultural, it's an aspect of our culture.
It's so true. One of the things that we say here is about, I like to call it the white coat authority, that they offer us their best suggestions based on their expertise, as well as they offer you statistics, but that doesn't mean you have to be one of the middle of the road statistics or some of their fatalistic type of statistics that we can always optimize. I love that, because here in the autoimmune world, we talk a lot about you know what you need best.
Exactly. And so, you know, and as an aside, my wife actually had an autoimmune disease, and she wrote a book called My Kitchen Cure that did really well. So while I've been working in the mental health addictions world for, gosh, the last 12 years, I was living with her as she was addressing her challenges and her issues and her interface with the medical community, you know, and being offered all the immunosuppressant drugs as a cure to her autoimmune disease. And she did her own research and took responsibility for her life and what she could change and do, in the same way that the work I've done in the mental health addictions world has been about bringing people's awareness to the truth that I don't care how many experts you go to or how many other people give you an answer, you are always responsible for your choices, and that you're the only expert in your life, and you're the only one that has that direct connection to spirit, to creator, to that inner wisdom, to your own heart and spirit. You're the one that lives with that relationship. And that relationship ultimately is the clearest source of awareness in our life, right? In our choices. And this is from a very basic level that I'm saying this. It's not religious at all. You know, what I'm saying is that our body knows, and that if we have a deep abiding relationship with the wisdom of our body, that there's a whole other perspective available to us. There's a greater sense of awareness available to us through our body.
Absolutely. If we just stop and listen for a moment, sometimes getting silent can be difficult. Do you have some tips on helping people tap into this greater wisdom that I have found has led me to optimize on my autoimmune experience here?
Well, you know, that's a lot of what the Heart Reconnection Guidebook addresses. The wisdom of the body, the wisdom of the heart and the soul, it's rarely ever a voice like the thoughts in our head are a voice. You know, you have a thought, you hear yourself thinking.
Or someone else's
correct.
Voice. From my past, exactly. It's a school teacher or a past mentor. But yes,
it's on the hard drive of our mind. Our mind has been recording our whole life's experience, and our mind's been programmed with all this knowledge and all these beliefs and all these points of view. And so culturally, we're taught that if we want an answer to a question, you think about it. You go into your mind, you sit with it, you reason it out, and you listen to the voices in your head. Okay? When we drop down into our heart and spirit, we drop down into that heart-centered relationship to ourself and our body, the answer is much more of a feeling. It's an intuitive response, as opposed to you should turn left, you know, like a Google driving down the street response of take a left and then a right. It's an intuitive hit, and you get a feeling about it. You know if you're eating a food that's not really good for your body. You can feel it if you have developed the ability to keep your attention and your awareness in your body. So it's shifting the nature of our relationship with our attention, literally. So when my mind is talking to me and I'm having a lot of thoughts, when I first got into this level of work on myself, when I was having a lot of thoughts, my attention naturally just went straight into my head. And I was listening to what I was thinking, and I was focused on what I was thinking. Well, I had no idea that that was just an automatic.
I love that. Just an automatic. That is a great metaphor for it.
Yeah. That anytime my head had something to say, my attention went right to the voices in my head. So one of the practices in the Heart Reconnection book it guides us into learning how to shift our attention. That my mind can be going, wait a minute, we shouldn't do this. We're supposed to do this and this and this. Just because the voices in my head are talking to me, it doesn't mean that I give them my attention. It's kind of like having kids in the back seat of the car. Just because they're fighting back and forth, or they're laughing, or they're talking to each other, you don't, as the driver of the car, necessarily give them your attention. Your attention's on the road in front of you, right? Well, our mind's a lot like a little kid. Our mind's like an out-of-control teenager. It yells at us. It shames us. It guilts us. It doubts us. It's talking all the time.
It rolls its eyes at us all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, our mind is kind of like Dr. Phil. You know, it's saying, yeah, well, and how'd that work? you know, to develop a practice of learning to shift our attention into our body and sit with my awareness and how I'm feeling. What am I feeling in my body? It's really developing a relationship in the same sense that if you and I wanted to be friends, we would develop a relationship by spending time with each other. And we would talk to each other, and we would listen to each other. And you create an energetic connection between two people. It's the same thing if I want to develop a relationship with my body, or I want to develop a relationship with a functional relationship with my mind. I learn how to listen to my mind, but rather than living in reaction to my thoughts, my judgments, my opinions, my beliefs, rather than reacting to them automatically, I can sit back and listen and think, okay, thank you for sharing. Not right now. You know, like, yeah, I know that's what I have believed before. And you know what? I'm not sure that's true. So I'm just going to kind of step back from going into that pattern of belief right now, or that pattern of reaction. So shifting our attention from automatically being hooked by our mind all the time and holding our attention in our body, it is a practice. It's not unlike developing a meditation practice. You can do a meditation practice where you bring your awareness into your breath and into just feeling your body. And you just sit with the body and see what comes. And you know, there's aspects of this laid out in the Heart Reconnection book.
Yeah.
So it's reframing where we're getting our information from. And really, you know, to be a truly responsible human, we would have as many sources of awareness available to us as we have within us to access. So I would listen to the knowledge in my head, and I'd listen to the experts out here in the world, and I'll take that information in, and I hold that information, but I also listen to what my body has to say. And I pay attention to the intuitive side of how it feels. How does the message from that doctor feel when I sit with that message?
I think that's really common, where people just get stuck in the belief part of, oh, this person's an expert, or, you know, even my best friend somehow more of an expert than I am about me. And we get stuck in this belief instead of taking time to examine our beliefs. I think that was critical. I wanted to point that out, that the difference between knowing and believing, a lot of people aren't aware of the difference. And I think that was a critical point that you brought on, that I would like to underscore for our listeners here, is being aware of how we honor ourselves in knowing what we know, and knowing the difference, whether it's knowing or believing.
There's an under fear kind of underlines all of this stuff, that we've been taught so much fear in our culture growing up. We've been taught that if we don't believe the right things, we won't be okay. And if I don't get the right grades, then I won't be good enough. And if I don't dress correctly or talk correctly, or, you know, everything in life is conditional in this culture that we're born into here today. Everything is conditional. And underneath all those conditions is judgment. And judgment uses fear like a club to beat us over the head. That if I'm not doing it right, then I'm bad, or I'm wrong, or I won't be okay in the world, or I'm a failure, or I'm going to hell or something.
But who's right? I want to point that at whose version of right? There's so many ways to do so many things to get to the same endpoint.
Absolutely. And again, in our book, in the Heart Reconnection book, we shift the attention that I am the person that's 100% responsible for my life. My teachers are not responsible for my life. You know, my priest or my rabbi, they're not responsible for my life. The doctor that I go to, he's not responsible for my life. I am responsible for my life. So if I own 100% responsibility for myself, number one, that's going to bring up a whole lot of insecurities. It's going to bring up old agreements about why we're not good enough, you know, old messages. It'll bring up traumas from the past. It brings up all that stuff that we've lived in our experience in this life that has undermined having faith in ourselves and trusting ourselves. So if I'm the one that's ultimately completely responsible for my life, my choices, my reality, and I don't have faith in myself, then it's like the captain of the ship is crazy. And I can't trust the captain of the ship. And so I'm super anxious, right? And I'm fearful, and I'm just at a loss. I'm in a place of confusion. So the work of reconnecting to the heart and our spirit is really the work of unraveling all of those things, those experiences, those agreements, those judgments that we're holding on to that undermine our having faith in who we are really and having faith in our ability to make choices on our own behalf and make use of, again, make use of doctors and experts and friends and others' points of view. Make use of all of that, but never relinquish the truth that it's my responsibility to make my choice based on ultimately how it feels to me.
That's a great place to stop. We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Lee McCormick, one of the authors of the great book called The Heart Reconnection Guidebook, and we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we have an amazing guest called, and his name is Lee McCormick. And he is the founder of the Integrative Life Center of Nashville, the Ranch Recovery Center in Tennessee, and the Canyon Treatment Center in Malibu, California. And he's been a creative force in the mental health and recovery scene for over two decades. And he's one of the co-authors of the book called The Heart Reconnection Guidebook. And we've been talking about is reconnecting with your heart. And what does that mean? So Lee's been sharing some great tips on how we are ultimate resource and responsibility for ourselves. And one of the things, Lee, I want to chat about and is what happens when there's a chronic condition is oftentimes I hear about losing perspective. And there comes a point when, in a case of an autoimmune, I like to say, we lose perspective on when an itch is just an itch. So do you have some tips on maybe if we feel we've lost our perspective on trusting ourselves, some ways that we can begin to regain that trust? Maybe we felt like, I don't know, this diagnosis just really threw me for a loop and I feel like I got off track somehow.
Gosh, again, my wife should be sitting here with me because she had Crohn's disease.
Oh my gosh.
And she completely healed it with diet and Chinese medicine. But and our lives have paralleled in some degree. Of course, in relation to our health, to our sense of well-being, so often the conditions that we end up with, they didn't happen overnight, right? And I don't care whether that is the development of Crohn's disease or whether that's the development of creation of an addiction or an eating disorder. It's all energy and it's a cause and effect. It's a cause and effect relationship. And so often we had a sense that something wasn't right way back there, right? Way before what we call the disease or disease, before it manifests, we had a sense that something wasn't right. And because of the world that we grow up in, like my wife was allergic to dairy from birth and was told that when she was, you know, a little baby because she couldn't drink milk. But then that was kind of lost in the mix when she got to be old enough to go to, you know, kindergarten and grade school. And because the reaction to drinking milk wasn't as bad, right? So for many, many years in her life, she continued to eat butter and she wouldn't drink milk much, but she continued to eat dairy. Well, you know, what she knew about her condition with the Crohn's is that it's largely based in allergies, that it's allergies that compromise the immune system. A continuous challenge to the immune system erodes the strength of the immune system. I know in my life, I developed an addiction, right? So that addiction started, I was just having fun. It was the mid 70s and, you know, I grew up on the beach in North Florida and kind of drugs and alcohol and Colombian airplanes full of cocaine were landing all the time on a ranch down the road, you know, and it started out literally being fun. Well, I knew it wasn't actually good for me, right? I had a sense. I mean, you know, this is not good for you, but you do it anyway. And that initial sense, that initial wisdom, that initial message of the body or of our higher self, our consciousness, that's saying, wait a minute, what are you doing? Well, we just overrule that. Because we're not taught to honor those messages in our culture. And then you live a pattern of behavior over a number of years. Well, it evolves and manifests as something that then you've really got your hands full of this challenge, right? When you look at our culture again, there's such a victim-minded orientation in our culture. And I believe that the tendency to feel like a victim of our circumstances again, is based in we've not been raised to live with true faith in ourselves. We've been raised to believe that we're down here. We're these weak, imperfect little beings. And for us to do right or to be right or to find answers, we need to go to experts, right? And so our faith in ourselves is undermined. And we're taught that for us to have value, we need to give our faith to the correct objects of the world, whether it's a religion or a particular diet or a program that's going to save us because we're not capable of saving ourselves, which is absolutely not true.
I like to call that the dependency model. And I always, when I'm looking at maybe a new teacher conference event, whatever it is, I look to see if they're model is a dependency model. You keep coming back to us group or me expert, whatever it is, and I will give you the next chapter to continue to live. Instead of that concept of teaching you to fish or giving you a fish is where I go with when I'm looking at learning new things.
Yeah. Well, and it gets complicated, you know, because again, so many of the people that end up being the experts, well, they became an expert because they were just trying to create an external value for themselves so they were good enough in their life. Well, they give all this time and energy to gathering all this knowledge and doing whatever it is they've done that's raised them up to that level of knowledge and awareness. And now they're a doctor, say. Well, their personal good enough is vested in them being a doctor. If you take the doctor away, all of a sudden they're insecure and lost and don't know who they really are. You know, so it's a complicated reality that we live in this regard. Whereas if we should shift our attention and the focus of our life back to that innate inner knowing, and we focus on developing a relationship to our heart and spirit, and we, you know, we call it recapitulating, but you work back through the choices that you've made and you start looking at, you know what, I knew 10 years ago that this was an issue and I knew that I shouldn't eat this or I shouldn't drink that or I shouldn't work out so much. I knew that this was not good for me. And we can unravel the series of events just from a cause and effect place, not from a place of judgment. And of course, as we unravel our life and go back to maybe the root of where this came from, we're gonna judge it because we've been programmed to judge. We've been domesticated to judge. So that provides an opportunity for me to intervene on that voice in my head that always wants to judge me. And for me to say to that, when that voice says, well, you're an idiot, you shouldn't have done that, and you knew better, and you were wrong, and now you're suffering for it, I can look at it and say, you know what? That's not true. I didn't know. I had a sense that it was wrong, but I'm not indulging in this argument with myself, over judging myself. What I'm going to do is own where I'm at now, and own the choices that I have now in the relationship that I'm going to live with this issue that I'm facing. So it's my issue. It's not somebody else's. And how I choose to live in relationship to that issue is going to determine the quality of the life that I'm living. And am I going to make that issue the overwhelmingly dominant force in my life? Or am I going to take care of myself, do what I need to do to support my healing? And also at the same time, when I feel good, I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to do what I want to go do. You know, I'm going to create outlets for myself that I have a passion for. So it's avoiding the rabbit hole, which the rabbit hole is almost always the victim, our victim consciousness.
Of being defined by our diagnosis.
Exactly.
Too many times you walk into autoimmune type situations where people will say, so what's your diagnosis? As if that's who you are, instead of an experience you're going through at the moment. It's fascinating to me, the labels that others use and that we use with ourselves to keep ourselves confined, to keep ourselves small.
That's completely congruent in the mental health addictions world. You know, like in AA, my name's Lee and I'm an alcoholic, or my name's Lee and I'm an addict, or I'm a codependent, or, you know, my name is and I'm a, well, the truth is, my name's Lee and I'm a human being. That's the truth. I created an addiction for myself. I was not the addiction. The addiction was the issue that I was dealing with that I had created not knowing any better. You know, it's a good opportunity for everyone to really look at what is the message that I continue to give to myself. Am I defining me as less than the truth of what I really am, even though the situation I'm in or the condition that I'm dealing with can truly be overwhelming at times? I still have a responsibility in how I'm going to frame that, and the way I'm going to hold that in relation to me. I am not the challenges that I face in this world. I'm the one that's facing the challenge.
Hmm. Beautiful. Well said. We're going to let us just ponder on that. I am the one facing the challenges. I am not the challenge. I love that. Thank you so much. And be sure and get the transcript, because we're going to, that one's I'm going to highlight. That's a tweetable, Lee. And when we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. We're just having a great time here with Lee McCormick, one of the co-authors of the Heart Reconnection Guidebook. And he is founded Spirit Recovery, Inc. to produce healing and recovery conferences and spiritual journeys around the world. He is also the co-founder of Front Porch Partners Consulting and Management and Research Development, and working with medical and behavioral health disciplines. He's been sharing all sorts of valuable information about reconnecting with ourselves. And as you know, if you've listened to the show for very long, I am a huge self-advocacy person. You are the ultimate responsibility. Now, one question I have, Lee, is what about, have you ever run into people when they not listen? and how do we shift? How do we shift?
It's a practice. So, you know, I run into Buddhism all the time because the basic tenets of Buddhism are really the coolest framework for a human shifting the nature of how we relate to ourselves. And, you know, the basis of Buddhism is the basis of our relationship to life. And our relationship to life begins with ourself, and then it moves out into the world. You know, and as I said earlier, we have so much resistance because so much of our beliefs, so much of our experience in life has been dominated by fear. That if I don't believe the right thing, I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, then I don't have any value and I'm not good enough. So we're hypervigilant. And then once we decide to believe something, we give so much faith, because a belief is a belief. It's just a belief. A belief doesn't have any power until you give your faith to it. And the more faith you give to a belief, the more powerful it becomes, to the point that we can choose to believe that a particular path in healing is going to fix us, and we can give all our faith to that path of healing, to what that doctor said, to these particular interventions. And I can get up every day and all day long say, this path is going to heal me. This path is going to heal me. This path is going to heal me. As that happens, we project responsibility for ourselves onto those beliefs and onto that path. You follow me to where I'm moving my responsibility for myself and giving it, projecting it onto that path. But the beliefs that are that path are beliefs that I chose.
And so what we're doing is never going back to, as we use that sort of Dr. Phil metaphor, as we're on this path, it sounds like not ever going back and saying, well, how's this working for me?
Exactly. We don't stop, you know, once a week and say, okay, well, how do I feel? Do I feel better today? Is this serving me? Is this serving me? Because it's our belief that we've given the faith to. It's not some outside God that showed up in our life. We manifest this belief. We created the belief. We gave the faith to it. Now we're demanding that the belief and that path be responsible for us. Well, the path that I'm on is never responsible for me. I'm always responsible for me. And I use the path to support me. I use this series of choices to help me, to heal me, to raise me up, you know, to call me out. And so it's always challenging. And it's really, for me, the key to our self-awareness, to raising ourselves up. The key to it is recovering faith in ourselves and owning our choices and learning to live in relationship to everything we're doing to try and help ourselves and to break the pattern of judging it as right or wrong. Or good or bad, and just realizing that this particular diet is a cause and effect. And because I'm eating this way, do I feel better? After, and we have to give things time also, because in the context of healing, you know, healing takes time.
It does.
So if I'm...
You didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get out overnight.
Right. And again, culturally, we run into our culture, which our culture demands immediate gratification. You know, I would rather take a pill to relieve the symptoms immediately, then I would have to change my entire diet and eat food I don't particularly like that very likely might completely heal my condition if I'll eat that way for the next 6 months.
No,
right?
Absolutely. And I like to point out, I did have some medical intervention at the beginning of the diagnosis because I needed to quickly stop the progression. And then once that was stopped, able to walk on a new path and make new choices and do new discoveries. Because oftentimes a diagnosis can come out, it seems like it comes out of the blue. As we've been talking, it doesn't really come out of the blue, but it can be that moment where you have to make a choice, where it's absolutely critical to survival to make a choice. And I want to point out, as what Lee's been saying, is you're not stuck in your choices. One choice doesn't mean that it has to lead to the next, quote unquote, obvious choice. You're allowed to make different choices. As the wellness, as the healing and optimization progresses, absolutely keep your eyes open for multiple choices.
And it's really important what you said, that you use the medical intervention on the front end because you needed that intervention. So we take in all of the information and all of the options available to us. And then I own the decisions that I'm making, and I maintain responsibility for my outcome. I don't try and make what the script the doctor wrote me. I don't make the medicine responsible for my outcome. I'm going to hold responsibility for myself, and I'm going to check in with myself. You know, one of the tools in the Heart Reconnection book that's really applicable to all of us as humans is journaling. You know, if you'll keep a journal every evening and just journal on your day, there's some guidance in the Heart Reconnection guidebook around this. But especially if you're in a transition period in your life, any kind of transition period, if you'll journal at the end of every day and reflect on that day, reflect on whatever specific area of your life you might really be working on, and you're tracking how you're feeling, you know, your sense of self, your sense of well-being, your you know, whatever your particulars are. You reflect on that every day. If you'll journal on that for a month, just make a commitment to do it every evening for a month, you'll develop such a strong sense of being a witness for yourself in your life. And what happens when we reflect every day in that journal is we'll recall important experiences that otherwise will just fly by, right? If I don't bring my attention back to my experience of today, then the experiences of today largely just go right by me.
Yeah.
And I'll miss a lot of nuance that's important.
Oh, that's so true. One of the things I love to do in my journaling is I always write about today on the right-hand side of the page, leave the left-hand side of the page blank. And then I go back after a month, 2 months, 3 months, it can even be a year if I'm really stuck on something. And I reread, and on the left-hand side, I write what's changed. Because that way I can see my patterns. I begin to see, oh my gosh, this too shall pass. This thing that felt permanent this day on the right-hand side, 3 months later, is something completely new and different as I write down what's changed on the left-hand side of the page. And I always date it so I can have reflect back and go, okay. And to me, as I progress through the healing experience of the diagnosis, gosh, when you first get that diagnosis and everything seems to be falling apart, and I like to say the body was not cooperating at that time, it didn't feel like, it felt like it was going to be forever. It really did. But now sure. Going back and reading and going, okay, wow, I really was, whoa, I was there. That was pretty deep. And I can look back and right now, and it reminds me, I can see my patterns and see that, yeah, this too shall change.
Yeah, and you develop a whole deeper relationship with yourself and with your body, because we're not our body. I'm not my body. I'm the consciousness, the spirit that gives life to my body. You know, when I leave my body returns to the earth again. All the elements that make up my physical body came from this earth, right? So my body returns to the earth. Well, I've had enough experiences to know that I'm not going to die when my body dies. I go somewhere else. Now, exactly what that looks like, I can't tell you, but I do know there's a something else. And I'm not really worried about the something else because I got my hands full just taking care of right here, right now. That's my job. You know, we humans are funny. We get in all these crazy arguments and wars and all kind of stuff about God and the afterlife, and we can't even clean up our room here on earth. So I'm like, first things first.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. And I like the first things first too, though, about our healing and our optimization is being able to unwind how we got here and begin to then rechart a course that will lead us into a different solution, a different direction. I think that's critically important, is understanding. And as Lee mentioned, this idea of understanding without shame, blame, guilt, or judgment.
It's really important. And you know, the other thing is an aspect of what we're doing is shifting the legacy that we inherited. And we're shifting that legacy because we're changing the base agreements that we have with ourselves about who I am, about my ability, about, you know, the power that I hold to create the life that I want to live, about the power that I hold to heal myself through the choices I make. The choices you've made in your healing was you using your power of choice to serve you, you know, in the highest sense. And so anytime I think a person steps into a healing path of any kind, all the people around us, you know, beginning maybe with our children, or spouses or close friends, all the people that are witnessing the nature of how we shift in our relationship with ourselves, and we take that responsibility and we start making choices for our healing and we make that the priority in our life, it changes the dynamic of the people around us too. And it can be a very subtle change. It may just be the energetic of it, but especially with our kids. So for a parent to be in a healing process, to own their place, to own their choices, to undo the temptation of being a victim of your circumstance, and to be in a place of power and grace with yourself, and to model that Our children see every bit of that. You know, while they appear to be distracted and they're in their own little life and they're in their own world and they can be afraid because we're their parent. You know, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances going on around it. But at the heart and core of it is we are an example of someone stepping into their life from a place of responsibility and compassion for themselves. And when our kids witness that, it shifts the legacy from what we inherited from our parents to what they're inheriting from us. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's critically important how many times that I'm myself included when I was raising my children would make conscious choices. Okay, this is the way I was raised and that didn't really work for me. I'm going to do it this way. And that changes the legacy of the entire family line when we're able to come. And I think it's powerful. My kids are grown now, but I know that they have mentioned to me things that they've seen in me as I've gone through my recovery healing experience from the autoimmune condition, that they comment on things about the strength and the perseverance and things that I'm still teaching them as they're adults. And I find that powerful. It keeps me motivated. It really does.
Well, it's such a gift. I mean, that lives on in our epigenetic imprint. So that's carried forward for several generations. And a lot of the things that we're healing are also multi-generational. So we can go back seven generations. You know, we are all connected. And when we step into a place of responsibility and compassion for ourselves and awareness for ourselves, and we take 100% responsibility for how we're living our life and holding our life, it raises the bar for everybody that's connected to us. And it's not easy. And we have to learn how to do that, right? It's like we're, in a sense, reparenting ourselves from a place of awareness as opposed to being parented just from the legacy that our parents inherited and then passed on to us.
And I always say it's okay. It's kind of a messy process as we're reparenting ourselves and it's okay.
Well, what's the other choice?
Exactly. Never do it. No, I don't want to say never. Oftentimes I'm like, okay, well, let's plan B. That was just a practice run.
The other choice is to just be miserable. Yeah. You know, we can do better than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, gosh, Lee, we're just down to the last 6 minutes here. Time flies when we're having great discussions. Tell us more about the book. Who were some of the co-authors and some of the things that stood out for you, and then how we get your book and more about you?
The Heart Reconnection Guidebook, the co-authors are an amazing lady named Mary Faulkner. Mary and I co-wrote an earlier book called The Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag. Mary's just fantastic. She's a therapist. She's brilliant. She's an amazing teacher. And then Joan Borisenko. Joan's written, I think, 15 or 16 books. Actually, Joan's last book was, oh my gosh, it's a plant-based diet book. It's a fantastic healing book. Joan is a PhD. She was a PhD cellular oncologist at Harvard. And then in the 80s, during the AIDS epidemic, went back and got a PhD in psychology because she was so inspired working with all the AIDS patients that were dying in the 80s and their relationship to faith and spirit and how their point of view on life drastically altered their outcome with that disease. Joan's an amazing person. And then a man named Will Tagle that lives in Wimberley, Texas. He's a PhD psychologist. And Holly Cook, who I work with at the Integrative Life Center here in Nashville, our recovery program. So everybody's got a bunch of initials after their name, but me. So
I found initials don't always make the person.
You know what? I'm the renegade guy who instigates all of these projects because I don't know. I can't do it.
Well, I think it's obvious that we're all here for our own specific purposes. So how do we get a hold of how do we find the book? Where do we find it?
Well, the book is available on Amazon, of course. It's published by HCI Books. But Amazon, you can order it from our the spiritrecovery.com website. And you can also order it from our website for our mental health addictions treatment program, the Integrative Life Center. It's integrativelifecenter.com. And Barnes & Noble also has it. So if you have a local bookstore, go order it from your local bookstore. Support them. That's important.
No, it is important. I love supporting our, especially our independent bookstores. You might have to wait a day or two, but you can always get it and support the local people as well. That's awesome. So any final thoughts before we have to go, Lee?
Gosh, you know, we inherit a lot of stuff when we come into this world, and we have a choice in whether we let that define our experience here. We're really amazing beings. We humans are amazing. And we have so much more to us than what we've been taught to believe, you know, and if we're willing to step up and raise ourselves up and to ask for help and to own our life and our choices and our place here, we can create heaven on earth if we would choose to do that. So, you know, have faith in yourself. You can do it.
Beautiful. Well said. Perfect place to end our interview for right now. And we've been talking to Lee McCormick, one of the co-authors of the Heart Reconnection Guidebook. And we'll have a transcript of the show over at understandingautoimmune.com. So go over there and be sure and sign up for that. You'll be able to watch the video. If you're listening to the audio, the video is up on YouTube. If you're watching the video, pop over to understandingautoimmune.com if you want to listen to the podcast as well. See all the other episodes, 200 plus episodes of Understanding Autoimmune that we have available there as well. So have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another episode of the Autoimmune Show. And everyone, go make it a great day. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Take a nice deep breath and let it out with a sigh. That's right. Just feel everything dissipate. Move your body to shake it out. Let your fingertips wiggle. Wiggle your toes to let any little stress release as you continue to take nice, deep, cleansing breaths. Find a favorite spot at the place you appreciate most. Take a moment just to drink it in. Savor the moment. How much you appreciate being here right now. That's right. And from this vantage point of appreciation, let all of the appreciation for this place, your favorite place, the people that you appreciate, the things and the happenings and the experiences that you appreciate, just bubble up and well up inside you. That's right. Fill every nook and cranny with appreciation as you begin to feel lighter, more confident. That's right. Appreciation is a miracle worker, isn't it? That's right. Knowing that you can take this appreciation with you at all times, wherever you go, whenever you want it, you're able to bring it right back up. That's right. Take one moment to again acknowledge it all and begin to come back again, full of gratitude and appreciation, confidence and courage, ready to begin your day again, ready to start anew, full of appreciation and ready to go. That's right. One nice last deep breath, full and feeling of appreciation as you come back now. That's right. Welcome back.